This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning again. I hope your Saturday morning is a breath of fresh air with the cool air that can't decide if it's fall, if it's spring, or if it's winter, or if it's summer. We don't know what season it is these days, but in here, it's quite warm in this. We're over at the Champion Center, the sales center, and we're sitting here with two wonderful people about to take on another discussion of a topic that we think is important, but it's not, again, our decision. We're not here to argue points. We're here to point out things and hopefully entice those to join in with us. And one of the biggest things that we're going to talk about today is going to be is preparation of young people for work elements. Where does that begin? Where does it stop? How much is too much? How much education is too much? When does the application of education and all that fun things? Well, I won't eat all that at one time, but first I need to introduce someone that needs no introduction.
Catherine Madden.
Catherine Madden. Oh. Yes. Ladies first. As gentlemen, we spoke on etiquette last week. Yes. So ladies first, Catherine Maddox, say good morning.
Good morning.
And as lovely as all things are, and then there's Manny.
Yes, about right. And a good morning to you too, John.
Yes. Hey, you know, there has to be an ugly side of everything, and I'm afraid we're stuck in it.
I have a face for radio, pal.
That's it. That's why there's no TV. No. But we're looking forward to the time together to discuss, guys. And again, this is a program called Real Talk. We're welcoming you here this morning. We're honored that you're with us. But it's designed to just open up some conversation, some community conversation, corporate conversation, to bring things out into a light, things that everybody talks about at the dinner table, but maybe not out in public. So what we want to try to do is to bring these elements to light. And again, one of these is, what are we doing with the young people? What are we preparing them for? What's it like? And so to begin that, I want to read just an opening little paragraph here and just kind of discuss through some ideas behind it, okay? Developing young people or children's social skills for the workplace, such as teamwork, communication, conflict resolution, forgive me, and empathy, is crucial for future employment, higher income, and entrepreneurial success. These skills are cultivated through early opportunities like group-based learning, extracurricular activities, and structural games that promote turn-taking, active listening, and reading body language, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, I think that, you know, checking the temperature in the room, you know, you're talking about body language. When I was a child and my father wanted to get me to do something, and he had to ask me more than once, I got the look of, I call it death. It was, I'll deal with you later, but right now, you best get busy doing. You know that look that doesn't have any volume behind it, no words, but speaks encyclopedias and depths of what's about to transpire, or what's going to open up on you if you don't. And so those were the kind of things that I grew up in the atmosphere I did. My father was a man of few words, but when he said it, he really wanted you to read his mind. He had this mindset when it come to work. If daddy's working, everybody's working. And so here we are today to go through, and as we prepare with all the elements available to us, online learning, obviously schoolwork, early schoolwork in high schools where they can get college degree courses. We can move into the internships, which I love. I love the follow your mom and dad or follow a boss day. You know, put the young people out and give them experience face to face. Anything to get them out from underneath their face buried in a pad or in a phone. Mm-hmm. Anything that says social skills. So when we're looking at that, to you guys, and Catherine, I'm gonna go with you first as a mom. Talk to me about how you're preparing your beautiful young people at home to get some work done.
I think that it all starts in the beginning. So I remember when I was a child, when it was time to play, there was go outside, play, find a friend, use your imagination, go do something with somebody else. Learned the social skill of knocking on the door of my friend's house and saying, hey, Mr. Smith, is Johnny here? Can he play? Instead of texting them, hey, come outside.
Very true.
That's a great observation. To elaborate on that, did you ever sell Girl Scout cookies?
I did, and I had to knock on little doors. Each individual, my mom did not sell them for me, and that's what they are now. They just post on Facebook and, hey, let me know, and that's end of it. There's no, we made our children, when they had to do fundraisers when they were early on in school, call the people and ask the each end of, give them their pitch and say, hey, grandma, I'm selling wrapping paper.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. And I know that it would be really, really good for you to wrap my birthday gift in and the Christmas gifts. I'll even help you wrap them. Would you like to buy two rolls? Grandma's not going to say no to that.
Not ever. And, you know, most of the time now you see Girl Scout cookies being sold in front of Walmart.
That's
and it's
exactly
the moms
right.
up front, and the kids are playing or on their phone behind it, and you stand there and you watch the situation, and moms and dads are there. And so the challenge is, people of the world out here in the community, get them out forefront. You know, let the public introduce them to real life at an early age. And that's kind of what I was. I can go into a story, but first, I'm going to turn to Mr. Manning, and I'm going to say, sir, your observation into current situations, I'm going to use the word entitlement as little as possible that I can find, but when it comes to preparing these young people for things we want them to accomplish, what are you looking for as an employer? What are you looking for?
You know what? I think the first thing is work experience. What have you done? Have you been active in the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts? Have you been active in your church? Are you involved with any activities at school beyond, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic? You know, do you have part-time jobs? Do you understand what it's like to work? You know, we started talking about how do you get young people to understand work. Well, you do that at the house. I mean, are you responsible for making sure your room is clean? Do you make your bed?
Oh, Lord.
Do you help mom and dad do the dishes? Do you take out the trash? Do you walk the dog? I mean, all these kinds. Do you have a paper? Well, when I grew up, I had a paper route, right? I don't know whether they still have those or not, but paper routes. I mean, things that taught you from day one that there was a big part of your life called work that you needed to understand and embrace, because that's the key to moving forward in life.
You know, I agree so much with that, because I remember as a child, we grew up a little with meager means, and I remember that we heated with wood. So at 11, 12, 13, it was nothing unusual for us. In fact, you're talking about a job. My job during the winter was to sleep in the living room. And I slept in the living room. This sounds like a real sad story, and you're going to see, you know, this sounds like wine and cheese in the background, and, you know, it's going to put, like, you walk the school both ways uphill kind of thing, you know, to
in
and
the
from.
Snow.
With no
in
shoes. The snow. With no
shoes.
You know, all of those things. But real story was, my father would send me out. He'd get out, and a lot of times his back was in bad shape, and he would send me up to doors and knock on doors and say, hey, you got a tree down or some limbs on a tree that need trimming, and all we really wanted was the wood. But we created a service. And, you know, at 11, 12, 13 years old, you go up to a door knocking on a door, and usually there's a dog chasing you here and there and everywhere, and all the fun things that you get. You know, I remember stepping inside of a house one time because a dog come around the corner, and a man come and yelled at me, what are you doing in my house? And, hey, sir, can you get your dog? Ended up getting his tree that we could cut down. It was all right, you know, so we had the wood and the lumber. But my father forced that issue. It wasn't popular. You know, I can remember times as a child being real. I'd walk up and I'd walk out of sight of Dad, and I'd stand on the side of the house. And then I would come back and tell a fib and say, Dad, they didn't want anything done. Or I couldn't, you know, it was intimidating until you learn and you garner that responsibility, you know, the expectation. So, and you breed success that way. It's a face-to-face application, not, you know, you talk about me as an employer. When you come in the door, I had a unique incident. Yeah, not that long ago, was a young man come in. I want to learn to be carpenter. I want to learn being carpenter. And the whole time he's talking to me, he's got his face buried in his phone, and he's texting somebody. And he kept looking down at the phone, and he's going, and I'm like, but yet the conditioning back to training that we're teaching them is that's okay. Because in that moment, It's like sitting in church or anywhere else. You're paying attention to the pastor or preacher, whatever, but you're on your phone. You're sending a text. What are we teaching them in terms of electronic and handy devices that are at our beck and call? So the idea of employment today to most people and to most young people is, as long as I can keep my cell phone and I can contact all my friends and do my shopping and let mama know or let my husband know or let my girlfriend know or whatever it may be. And it sounds like, again, a soapbox, but that seems to be the norm. Everybody's expectation is it's my phone. I get to use it anytime I want. And I stumble over myself at times with frustration, and I have to come in and have meetings and say, guys, I pay for all your time. So with that mindset, we've handed young adults phones because we want to keep up with them, okay, to put them in a car and said, go do this and this, and now we're preparing them for employment because we want to know where they're at. But is the ethics of – we've just left the ethics of work behind. It's not called work ethic. It's the ethics of work that they just don't have. There's no motivation. Entitlement is, I don't have to do that. And moms and dads and grandfathers and all the things, yeah, buy those gifts when the kids come knocking. Do those things. Put them to work. Put a rake in their hand. Oh, teach yeah. them some responsibility anymore that says, come help me. And sometimes not everything's for money. You do for pro bono. You do because it's your family. You do. I remember I was almost 20 years old before I collected any kind of money. You mentioned to my father a paycheck. He would look at you, boy, are you eating? And I know that sounds barbaric, but his mindset, what, and rightfully so, was you do what you do for the family. You do what you do because these are the ethics that's going to make you well into the world. And, you know, I don't have a lot, but it served me well in the purposes in the worlds of which I circulate in. So I got to tell you that those are things that we have to go back to a combination of the new and the old. And so how do we do that? And again, preparation, community events. What's too social? What's not? To me, when I interview, and I'll pass this on, Catherine, to you, when you interview or you're speculating with someone, you do sales in terms of radio sales and different things for advertising purposes. You have to be personal. You have to be able to give them ideas. But without that communication skill, you don't gain that texting.
No, not at all.
You get arthritis in your thumbs. That's all you're going to get. You know, so the things it becomes is the face-to-face values that we have to put them in a position to do. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think I want to rewind to something you did say, though. The intertwining of work ethic and socializing with our younger friends. My mind goes back to, for instance, sitting at the table at Thanksgiving or Easter or an event, and the younger young adults, I say early 20s, late teens, the difference in the ones that continue to sit at the table after the meal and the ones that say, what can I do to help? Can I help you with the dishes? Hand me your plate. I'll take it to the kitchen. And you can see how they're raised differently. And that's socialization, because they're socializing and what they do. They're not sitting on their phone texting or snapping or Instagram or Twitter, whatever they may be doing, they're actually engaging in conversation and volunteering some help and assistance to whoever the host is. So that tells you a little bit of difference in how they've been reared as a child, I think. And I think that is one thing that will pay off in the future.
Absolutely. I agree with that, Manny.
Well, it's all up to the parents. If the parents don't set the tone, you can't blame the child. I mean, if the parents just allow them to get this little thing in their hand and play with it all the time and they don't have responsibilities to clean the tables of the dishes and do the, help out around the house, that's on the parents. And you got to ask yourself, how did that start? Now, a lot of people say because it takes two income families to live today. Yes. I don't think that's it at all, because those two income families, they still come home at some point. And they still have their children there for some period of time.
Absolutely.
You just set the standard. You know, I've said this before. The standard is the standard.
And what's the old saying? An idle mind is the
devil's workshop.
And so we know that to keep them busy. I believe in busyness. One of my sons produces this show here for us, and he'll tell you in a minute. Again, I had the mindset that if you were up to no good, then I can find good things for you to do. And it's kind of one of those things. Busyness was a thing that you didn't give them room to get in trouble, but yet you honed a skill. Uh-huh. Part of the things I did with my older sons, and I've got younger ones at home, and they're going to learn the same prospects, is that even in the construction industry, was to learn the skill. Before they could sell it, before they could present it, they had to understand the work ethic of it. And that wasn't always popular at home because the kids would come home filthy. And I mean drowned, sweaty in the summer. They worked the summers from the time they were 7 or 8 or 9. He's shaking his head over here. And so it was one of those things. I had them underneath bushes digging out thorns and nails and whatever it would it took to get the job done, because I wanted them to understand from a perspective was everybody's job is different, but everyone's job is vital. The least of these, if you say, is not... They're just as important as the one running the crews and doing those things. So when they learned that application, all of a sudden it became a real easy knowledge of selling it. Once you've done it, it's a different world. And so I think the conquest here is to put young people, as young as you can stand, and get them to understand. Now, I got a 3-year-old, and her favorite word is, I don't want to do that. That's what she calls one word. Daddy, I got one word for you. What's that? I don't want to do that. Now, I don't know how many of that is, but to her mind, I don't want to. And I look at her, daughter, I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I said that this is what, get up and get your dolls up and your stuffies. Seems minute, but you begin to recognize that instruction and how to do things. And it has to be a valuable tool in terms of, you can speak all day, but who's listening? Mm-hmm. Teach them to listen first. And listening, take a visit to Walmart. You have some fun about listening. And you can realize that's the wrong time to try to teach etiquette. But we're going to get off that. No offense, Walmart. But again, it's one of my favorite places to go. I browse around all the time. So moving along, you're talking about that. Let's talk about another thing, sports. Does that add?
Oh, absolutely it does. I mean, in sports, you have to learn to work with a team.
That's correct.
And the team has rules. And every player on that team has got their strength and their weakness. And they are depending upon you to do whatever the job is the coach tells you to do. To me, sports is a big, big part of growing up and maturing so that you understand what it's like to work with other people. Summer jobs. My dad made me have a different summer job every summer so I could learn from different people how they did what they did.
That's brilliant.
I mean, I worked as an auto mechanic one summer. I dug ditches the next summer. I worked on a farm the third summer. I mean, I worked in a box factory, putting books in boxes. It was all about experiences, but I had to work. I had to work.
That's a lot of reason why at Champion Services, we do a lot of different things. It's because you learn a lot of skill set that no one can ever take away. And Catherine, you're a mom of some talented sports guys. Talk to us.
So... interesting thing about sports. So I'm thinking, as obviously early on, it's the interaction and learning people's skills, if you will, how to communicate, to pass me the ball, all those things. But as they get older, I think you're instilling even more. So we had, to give a specific example, a couple weeks ago, an incident with our team, and they said, the coach sent out a message and said, all of the kids' phones will be locked in the locker room until after the game. We don't want any distractions. And I remember thinking, why is that not a normal thing every week?
Yeah, that's a good point.
As we are entering into the game, our head should be in the game and what's happening. And if we are not on that field, we should be cheering on our team, watching the other team, learning, oh, that pitcher's throwing curveballs or whatever it may be, learning so when you get up to bat, you're prepared. So instead, you have kids sitting there in the dugout texting their girlfriend or seeing what the latest TikTok trend is. And why do we sign up for a sport if we're not going to be all in all the time? And so I think that's a part of socialization, that we're allowing ourselves to be detached from a situation where we should be very involved.
Yeah. And look, look what they've done in the schools now. The schools, they are taking those cell phones and put them away.
Mm-hmm. I applaud long that. Overdue. I am literally clapping right now, thinking, what took so long to figure that out? Yeah. Okay. It's the same thing at work. I'm almost to the point where, guys, if it's a work phone, you have a desk phone and a work phone. You don't need both. If there's an emergency, they'll call you. And you get to the point where, guys, just drop that off your, I like that. Give me a box. This is the, I don't have time to talk to you box. And we're going to put that over here and throw that up on the shelf. You know, it was a conversation made last week or the week before. We talked about, and even gathering around the table, where we got a lot of instructions in my day. That's where mom and dad told you, again, to reiterate, where you did or you didn't do. But, you know, don't bring the cell phones to the table. How many times you go in a restaurant, and what is the habit? There's six people sitting at a table, and most of the time, there's no socialization.
That's
there's
exactly
no
right.
looking each other in the eyes.
That's right.
You see husband and wife sitting there, and they're both on the phone. Dead silence. And I sit there and I go, have we become zombies? Mm-hmm. This has become, you want to know the zombie apocalypse? It's called cell phone-itis, okay? It's called the usage of it. And in terms of that, again, in preparation and moving forward, I was a big-time sports enthusiast, played a lot of ball, had some success, did those things, and I enjoyed the camaraderie in terms of that. But that's the importance that those listening in, whether you be a teacher or coaches or friends or neighbors or family members, whatever they are, confidant, whatever it is, what you instill in these young people has to give them an ethic. And yet, again, they have to listen. And so we're with self-indulgement in cell phones, which gives them a world where they can go dive into. You know, and I could get into something here, and I may yet, because I had an interesting conversation at 7:30 this morning. And you're with a gentleman that's out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. His name's Char Adams. He's in fact, he has agreed and wants to sponsor the show. And he's with an insurance company, Madison Insurance Company. I'm going to give him a prologue. And I asked him, I said, you sound a little down. He said, John, I got to tell you, I just saw the worst thing I think I've ever seen in my life. He said, out in Albuquerque, which he's working, he's out there at one of their branches. And he said, one of the managers took him around to show them, and I made the comment, I said, it looks like they've cleaned the city up. He said, no, they haven't cleaned the city up. And so they took him over into an area, and literally the amount of fentanyl addicts walking around, and the average age is 19, 20 to 25. He said, I'm telling you, John, it was like Night of the Living Dead walking around. He said, I cried. I saw this thing happening, and I'm looking at me, and I'm in disbelief. I think I've transported to a movie set, but these people can't function. They were beautiful young people out there. And so those are the hearts and the desires. This is the kind of passion that drives us to want to come on here and say, hey, how do we cut this thing off? How do we stop this? Drug uses a lot of times, too, because wealth and worth and ethics of physical activities, whether it be sports, I'm not saying this is the catch-all answer, whether it be home responsibilities, keeping them busy, whether it be monitoring where they're at in terms of making sure that they're, you want to put them in a great position to be successful and learn the most they can, whether it be work or internship. When you get into all those things, you wonder that it is the self net worth that they find themselves and that the valuation. You remember the first job you ever got?
Oh, yeah. I was a paper boy.
How'd that feel?
At first, I was wondered why I had to do it. But as I got into it, I really enjoyed it because I had a route of, I don't know, 90 or 100 customers, and I'd walk the neighborhood and throw the papers up there, got to know them, learned a lot about collecting money, which I had to do back in those days. And when my younger sister came into the world, I would push her around and I had my paper in her basket, and we were kind of a show around the neighborhood. But I learned a lot of responsibility.
I'll never forget the first time that I walked up as a 11, 12-year-old, and a man said, you know, can you fix this and this? And I got a little job, and I walked back to my truck, and there was an extra pep in my step because I had to go back and tell Dad, not only did I get some wood, he wants me to clean his gutters out. and Dad just looked at me, and but you have to understand, in our culture, in the nature of which I was raised, canvassing and knocking on doors and looking people in the eyes, that's just where you were at a very young age. But it's one of those things that when you do those things, it's just the net worth of who we are. Are we preparing them for greater trustworthiness, greater worth? Catherine, you know, there's a couple of discussion items, and, you know, questions are our kids ready? Do you feel like your kids are ready? Not picking at them, just in general.
I think that's all in the eyes of the beholder. Like, what do you define ready as? Are they ready in some aspects of life for what the future holds? Yes. Do I think I've done a good job? I hope so. But I think we always question as parents if we've done our best or we've done right by our kids and taught them all the things. But I think also in the world, there's too many distractions that kind of pull at them this way and that way. I would say I hope mine are ready. So I would say yes. But I still have to say there are so many distractions with social media and everything else that is deterring our children from having a natural, real way of having social skills. It's just hard. COVID killed it for us. And I hate to say it that, but for those years, COVID just taught our kids to be introverts.
Very true. We took them out of the classroom, sent them home, and they were supposed to learn about life off of a TV screen. And we found out later that didn't work from a lot of different perspectives. They didn't get the education. They lost their social skills. And we're still feeling that today after all these years.
You know, and that's absolutely the case. But, you know, one of the hardest jobs I've ever seen is being a mom.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Raising kids. I applaud all the moms out there, married, single, whatever it is, and whatever you've done. If you've got a group of kids, you got one. It doesn't matter. That is the hardest, maybe the most rewarding, and sometimes the most frustrating job you'll ever have. So preparing for that, I got to give an applauding to the ladies out there that their ethics are great. So to wrap this thing up, and boy, we could go on and on. We may have to expend this thing to another show. But and again, let's talk real quickly if we can talk about education.
Critical.
Manny, is that
critical? You got to have an education, but not everybody needs higher levels of education. Some people are just naturally talented, and they can get the basics, by the end of high school, and they can go on. Boom. Others need that additional training so they can move forward. Just depends on what you're going to get into. And we're finding out about that more and more now. The trades are in the demand for workers, good plumbers, good carpenters, and good truck drivers, the salaries that they're paying now. You don't need to go on to 4 years of higher education for that. You don't need it. And you can still have a very good life.
Well, that's how I made my living. 10 and a half years of high school, I graduated. I created some degrees and gained those things online and all this. But I furthered my education with my hands. Yeah. And you know what? There's nobody can take that from me.
That's exactly right.
That's a skill AI is not going to steal. Mm-hmm. It's not. Catherine, any final thoughts? Your thoughts? Because we may extend this, by the way, guys, into next week because there's so much more rich information we want to do. But I've loved this conversation today.
I agree. I think education's crucial, especially in the early years, really, to rear the children and for the socialization because you have recess, which is, I think, is something that they don't even really talk about as an essential to the day, but it's teaching the kids to share and to talk and communicate those skills that can't really be taught in the classroom. And I think for that aspect, it's important, but I agree that a higher level education is not always necessary.
Parents, do your kids a favor. Teach them early on the value of work. Get them to do chores in the house. Make them do summer jobs. Integrate them with people outside.
One of the sponsors of this show is the Red Door Church, and I got to tell you, from a biblical application of this, I got to tell you that teach them in the way that they shall go, and they won't depart. This is Real Talk today with Catherine Madden and with Mr. Manning Kimmel, and that's part of the mister that was beating my head as a young child that we talked about on a previous show, but we want to thank you for joining us today. We want you to come back. We want you to share it with your friends, and again, we want to give you an email that you can reach out to. It's called reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com. reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com. Good morning, everybody. Hope to see you again real soon on the radio. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.